Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter 12, we'll start reading at verse number 1. Let's stand, please, while we read the Word of God. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. And after that, you may be seated. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege we have today to be here. And thank you for all that we've experienced here last night. Thank you for what we've experienced here today. We praise your name for Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for every song been sung. And pray, God, you bless that to our hearts. And help us now as we go into the preaching. We recognize the fact without you we can do nothing. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name you'd help us now. I need that divine touch of God. I pray you'd open hearts and lives, and that may hinder the service today, I pray that you would rebuke. And I ask today that the power of God be working at liberty in this place. And Father, speak to hearts, those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'll be saved. Then that you speak to all of our hearts and challenge us that we may be that you'd have us to be. We'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you do. Lord, again, I need that touch of God. Ask in Jesus' name that take your word and you promise it not return void. It would accomplish that wherein that you send it. And Father, help us in this hour to totally depend upon you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to speak on the subject today. Where will salvation take you? Where will salvation take you? I know the first thing you think about real quick is it'll take you to heaven. Well, that's true. True salvation will take you to heaven. But we'll get that a little bit later. I believe there's some places salvation will take you. And I pray that God will help you to see that. Here in our text, it's used three times, that word. In verse number 2, it says, Behold, God is my salvation. And also at the end of that verse, it says, It's become my salvation. I want to ask you a question right now. This is just an introduction. Is salvation really yours? Could you say my salvation? You remember in Exodus chapter 12, it talked about a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. And I'm glad, praise God, he's my lamb. Amen. He is the lamb of God. He is a lamb that was needed on the cross. But he is my lamb because I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. Here the psalmist David is, or not the psalmist David, but Isaiah is saying, my salvation. He's become my salvation. And Jesus Christ is the only way. Brother Ronnie mentioned this morning in Sunday school. It's God's way or no way. And God's way is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man come unto the Father but by me, he said. And so it's by the Lord Jesus Christ that we come to Christ. Three times, look in verse number 3. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I'm glad there's a well of salvation to draw out of, amen. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful I'm going to miss hell. That's worth shouting about. That's worth saying amen about. But there's more to it than that. There's some wells of salvation you can draw out of. I'm not going to preach that message today, but can't help but see it in that verse of Scripture. The wells of salvation. Boy, you can draw some joy out of that. You can draw some peace out of that. You can draw eternal life out of that. You can draw some presence out of that. You can draw comfort out of that. I'm glad for the wells of salvation you can draw out. If you're not saved, you don't have the well of salvation. It's like a spring of water on the inside springing up into everlasting life, Jesus told the woman in John chapter 4. And so the wells of an artesian well just keeps on coming up, keeps on coming up. I'm glad, thank God, there's a well. I remember at home where I grew up, we had a pump outside where you pumped water out. And we went out there to draw water. And on worst day, Mom get us out there bringing that water, pumping it up, and getting ready to wash clothes, getting ready. And we'd draw water out of that well. And that was good cold water out of that well. But we had to draw it out. I say, praise God, there's some salvation. Salvation's real. But there's some water we can draw out of that well. Amen. We'll preach that message later. But anyway, I'm glad for that wells of salvation, the water we can draw out of the well of salvation. And this word salvation used three times here. It's used 164 times in the Bible. Salvation. In the Old Testament, it comes from a word, a Hebrew word, that means deliverance and victory. That's pretty good, isn't it? Deliverance and victory. In the New Testament, it comes from a Greek word that means deliverance. There's that word deliverance again. Also means preservation and safety. I say, praise God, you put all that together in salvation. You're talking about deliverance. You're talking about victory. You're talking about deliverance again. You're talking about preservation keeping you. You're talking about safety. I like it. Amen. I'm glad I know the salvation of my God. He's my salvation. I'm glad that he's personally my salvation. And if you know him as your salvation, you know what I'm talking about. I am thankful for that. Now, let me say this. I'm still in the introduction. I'll be in for a few minutes, so just hang with me. And I like some of my introductions better than do my message. But anyway, the introduction is more I worked on it, the better I liked it and thought about it. And salvation, that deliverance, that help, that victory, that joy. I'm glad for all of that. But I got to thinking about this. Salvation always moves you somewhere. It leads you from somewhere to somewhere. I don't care how you look at it. Now, I'm not talking about physical. I'm not talking about moving from Bowling Springs to Spartanburg or moving from one state to another state or a country to a country. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your life personally, salvation will move you somewhere. And it'll take you somewhere. And so today, that's what I want to deal with. Where will salvation take you? That's a question. I'm going to try to answer a little bit of it, but still in the introduction, let me just give you a little bit of this in the Word of God that you find given to us. And you remember Israel down in Egypt, and that was in Sunday school this morning talking about that and how God called Moses to go down there and bring them out. And they were down there in Egypt. They were in bondage, and they were slaves. That's how unsaved folk are in this world. They're in bondage to sin, enslaved to sin, and the devil paints pretty pictures. He always makes it look real good. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. That season soon runs out. It's soon over with, and it'll be over and done. And you know the devil paint a pretty picture? Won't you try drinking liquor in it? It'll make you feel good, and you'll be better. But you know what? He's always got a handsome man and a good-looking woman and supposedly having fun. He never does paint a picture of a car wrapped around a tree and blood running down the street. He never does do that. He never tells about some drunk running over some young lady, Brother Chris. He never tells that part of it. The devil always paints a pretty picture. And drugs, he'll tell you, well, a high make you feel better and that kind of thing. It never tells you the road it's going to lead you down, mess up your mind, mess up your life, and get you enslaved to it and in bondage to it. Hey, he never paints that kind of picture. It's always something good. He'll paint you a picture about how beautiful sex is, and in the right place in marriage, it is beautiful and good. Outside of that, it's not good. It's not beautiful. Amen. The devil never paints a picture of some young lady having her life messed up and being out there messed up and lost their virtue. The devil never paints that picture. It's going to be down the road, and that young man's got messed up in that. And he never paints that picture. But let me tell you tonight, thank God there's a better way. And I'm glad God paints the right picture. Well, I just want to tell you about sin enslaving, how sin will do you. And sin will enslave you if you're not careful. And sin will enslave you, being careful or not careful, unless you get to Jesus Christ. He's the only answer there is, Brother Ronnie. You hit it on the head. It's His way or no way. If you don't go His way, you've gone the devil's way. And the devil's way always leads you to destruction, always leads to bondage, always leads you in a place where you don't want to go, and leads you left out there somewhere hurting and wish you never got caught up in what you're caught up. But hallelujah, I'm glad tonight, today, I can tell you there's deliverance. He is my salvation. He can be your salvation. There is deliverance. And Egypt, Israel down in Egypt bondage, and there they were enslaved, and even Pharaoh made the bondage harder when God sent His man down there to say, let them go. That's how the devil does when the conviction comes and God begins to work on you. It seems like sometimes when God's working on somebody, it seems like they want to get worse instead of better. And they try to run harder away from it than they do coming to it. And when you're trying to witness somebody and you're trying to get somebody saved, it seems like they're getting worse. Just keep on praying and keep on believing. God may be working and they may be rebelling, but God can get them if we'll keep on praying. Amen. And trusting God for that. Now, I'm talking about deliverance of Israel. Let me get back to that. I run a few tracks here and there, but they're pretty good. Amen. And here they are in bondage and like unsaved are today. And God's man went down there and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said he wasn't going to do it. And the devil don't want to let you go. He wants to hold you there. And finally, the night of the Passover came. The blood was put on the doorpost and the lintel, which speaks of the cross on the lintel of the cross and on the doorpost on each side. That blood was put up there. And then when they got on the inside of it and got inside, thank God it was safe and secure in there. Now Pharaoh, when the firstborn died throughout the land of Egypt, every family that was not under the blood, and even the firstborn of the animals died. And there's a great cry made. And so Pharaoh finally drove them out and said, get away from us and go on. And they got out there, and when they got out there, they got to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea was before them, and the enemy was behind them, and it looked like it had no way out. Looks like it couldn't go anywhere. It looked like he's going to perish. And God said to Moses, you tell him, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians that you've seen today, you'll see them again no more forever. I say hallelujah. He said, stand still. And God that night had the wind to blow, and God by his miraculous power opened up the Red Sea, and dry ground appeared, and they marched over on dry ground. I say hallelujah. Deliverance came, amen. They couldn't see the way out. And some of y'all here today can't see your way out, but God can make a way out. He can drive the sea. He can show you a dry path and take you through and get you on the other side. And when they got on the other side, God said to Moses, stretch your rod out. And the sea came back in, and Pharaoh and all of his army was in the midst of that dry land. And God said, you're going to see them no more forever. He let the sea roll back over them and took him away. I say hallelujah. I got a God that can deliver you and help you and save you. Amen. I don't know what you caught up in. I don't know what's got you in bondage, but I know who the deliverer is. I know who's my salvation. I know it can be your salvation. I know it'll be a well of salvation. I know it'll be one you can draw out of. And I say hallelujah and praise God for that. You're unsaved. I'm glad there's deliverance. There is deliverance in Jesus Christ our Lord, our Savior, salvation. And so as I think about that, and they got victory on the other side. Fact is, when they got on the other side of the sea, they turned around, looked at what God was doing, got to singing a song of victory. Hallelujah. I say praise God. And let God help you. When you look back on, you can say, I can't explain it. And I'm sure they look back and say, I don't know how that water all dried up except God Almighty. He brought it up, dried it up for us so we could go through on dry ground. And he did. Amen. Thank God for that. I praise God for that. You remember David, the word salvation not used in it, but in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 2 and 3, for he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and gave me a new song to sing. I say hallelujah. That's deliverance, isn't it? He brought me up out of. Now I said salvation will always take you from one place to another. It'll move you somehow. It'll take you somewhere. And it took him out of a pit. It took him out of the miry clay and set him on a rock. That's exactly what happens when we got saved. God took me out of that sinking pit I was in, going to hell, and picked me up and set me on a rock. And thank God he gave me a new song to sing. Hallelujah. I may not be able to sing like Brother Tim Ramsey can sing. I may not be physically be able to sing like a lot of people can sing, but I got a song in my heart I can sing to God. Amen. He understands that song's a song of joy and praise and thanks to him for what he's done for me. And I praise him and thank him for it. I was going down, but thank God he picked me up. That's salvation, my salvation. Has he ever picked you up? You remember the Apostle Paul? He's traveling one day. Had letters from the authorities. He's going down there. He's going to get Christians and put them in jail, kill some, get them out of the way. He thought he's doing God a favor. Fact is, he thought Jesus was a false Messiah. And he was of the strict religious Jewish religion. And he thought that he couldn't see it. He's blinded and couldn't see. He wasn't doing it to be mean. He's doing it because he thought he's doing God a service. But he's on his road down to Damascus, and a bright light from heaven in the noonday, right the hottest part of the day, and the sun shining. There's a bright light from heaven shone down. Thank God, Jesus outshines everything, and got his attention. He fell to the ground, blinded, and fell to the ground. And said, "Lord, who art thou?" And Jesus said, "Why persecutest thou me?" Now he's persecuting the church. And let me just toss this out to you. It's a good trail to run while I'm on it. Let me toss this out. Jesus was in heaven talking to Paul on earth. He said, "Why are you persecuting me for? You can't separate Jesus from his church." Amen. We're the body. He's the head. Hey, my head's up here and my body's down here, but I'm one person. Amen. And so that, you say, "Preacher, you're preaching here." That's what Jesus said. We're the body, he's the head. And when you persecute the church, you're persecuting Jesus. When you run down the church, you run down Jesus. Amen. Well, that's good anyhow when I'm preaching. But anyway, here he is and he's on his way. But Jesus strikes him down. Then he gets saved, gets born again. Here's one who was a persecutor who became a preacher. He persecuted those preaching the gospel. Then he got saved, got salvation, got delivered out of darkness. And then he became a preacher of the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." He said, giving praises unto God who have brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we's all in darkness groping around until the light shone in our hearts and God saved us by his marvelous grace. I say thank God for salvation in Jesus. He's my salvation. Amen. Now let me take this a little bit step further. I'm still in introduction. Don't get excited. Praise God, I got stirred up last night. It made me want to preach. But listen, Jonah, you remember Jonah? He was a saved man. God said for him to go somewhere. He didn't go. He supposed to have went to Nineveh, preached to that crowd. He looked at Nineveh. He said, that bunch out there, he probably thought to himself, that bunch out there is a bunch of Gentiles, and they're wicked as all get out, and God's not going to have mercy on them. And no use of me going up there with that bunch. And so he just got him a ship and headed the other direction. but it's God's way or no way. Amen. And so he started in a different direction. And as he went, you know the story. The storm came. God knows how to get your attention. God may want you to do something you're not doing. God will get your attention. And so finally they had to throw him overboard. They found out who he was. Finally he said, I'm the problem. And they throwed him overboard and the whale swallowed him up. You said, preacher, the Bible says a great fish. It does in the Old Testament. New Testament said it was a whale. And so you put it together. God had a whale, which is a great fish. And he prepared a certain compartment in that fish. You say a man can't live 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. You've never seen a compartment God built. If he wanted to, he could build him an air-conditioned compartment with even a fireplace in it. I don't know. He could do whatever he wanted to do. But he fixed a place in that fish for Jonah to go. And I don't believe it's a pleasant place. I believe he kind of let some seaweed seep in and some other junks seep in so Jonah know where he was. And he's in the belly of that fish. And 3 days and three nights he's there. I believe he tried to get out. I think he wanted to get out. But he's disobedient to God. Finally, the last five words he cried, salvation is of the Lord. And God heard him. And the fish spit him out on dry ground. I like that, amen. Didn't spit him out and say, now swim best way you can to shore. He didn't get him out there part of the way. He said, wade, crawl, get there, however you can. He spit him all the way out. Hit dry dust when he hit, amen. I say, pray. I'd like to have seen that picture when that fish went whoop. That's one time a backslid preacher made a fish sick. Amen. Backslid preachers make a whole lot of things sick, amen. But anyway, that fish got sick, spit him out, and Jonah went to Nineveh then and got to preaching in the whole city. Hey, the greatest revival you'll ever read about is in Nineveh. I never read about any other revival anytime, anywhere, where everybody repented from the king right on down. They all repented and got right with God. Amen. And God spared the city. I say hallelujah. Ain't God good? Salvation. Hey, salvation will take you from one place to another. And Jonah was in the wrong place, but God, and when he cried, salvation is of the Lord, God said, I'll deliver you. And he spit him out, had the fish to do it on dry ground. You're here today, and you're not doing what God have you to do. You're in the wrong place, as it were, in your life spiritually. Whatever it is, I don't know, but God does, and God's working on you. And God's saying to you, won't you listen to me? Cry out. Salvation is of the Lord. It's deliverance. It's safety. It's preservation. Amen. It's victory. And I'm glad we can have that victory. Thank God for it. Hey, older folk, young people don't have a monopoly on this thing of having victory. They don't have a monopoly on getting in a good service. They don't have a monopoly on shouting, praising God. They don't have a monopoly on singing and raising their hands and crying. They don't have a monopoly on that. We can have a part of that too. Amen. Get in on it for the glory of God. Well, preacher, where will salvation lead you? I'm about through introduction. You said, preacher, you're about through preaching. We're going to at least give you one thing. I've got three or four here. I'm going to give you one of them at least this morning. I just got to thinking on that introduction. Like it's so good, I just wanted to preach it. Amen. And that's all right because I want you to know what salvation is. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is moving from where you are somewhere else. It's at least something's going to happen to you. Anybody say they got saved and they have salvation and nothing has ever happened, there's something wrong. Salvation will always take you somewhere. If you don't get anything else I say, remember that the day when you walk out the door. Salvation, real salvation, will take you somewhere. Now, number one, I want you to think about this with me. Real salvation will take you into holiness. Don't look funny. When I say holiness, that word holy comes from a root word that means transcends, goes beyond. And when we talk about holy, holy, holy God, And we're talking about one that transcends anything that we could ever be. But in talking about holiness that we're talking about for us, it means sanctification, separation from the world. It's leading us into something better than what we've got in the world. Look with me in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. This book of 1 John is filled up with how to know you have salvation anyhow. Literally filled with it. Sit down sometime and read the five chapters of it in one setting and see what God says about it. Look at verse number 6 of chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's the word of God. Amen. I didn't write that. I didn't pin that down. God did. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You remember a while ago, I gave you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and said he brought us out of darkness in his marvelous light. If you ever got saved, you got in the light. Amen. Amen? You got in the light. Now look in chapter 2, verse number 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. A man that says he knows him and he doesn't have a desire to do what God says, he don't want to live right, he doesn't want to believe what God says about strong drink or drugs or illicit sex and all that, he don't want to pay attention to what God said about same-sex marriage, he don't want to pay attention to God, he's a liar. God said, if he says he has fellowship with him, God says he's a liar. Verse number 5, whosoever keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him. Look at verse number 15. I'll just skip part of this, but look at verse number 15 of this same chapter. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passed away, and the lust thereof. I say to you today, we need to understand that when God saves, salvation, real Bible salvation, will take you out of the world. It'll take you in the place where you want to live for God. It'll take you in the place where you want to be that God have you to be. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33, it says, either let the tree be corrupt and bear corrupt fruit, or let the tree be good and bear good fruit, or else let the tree be one or the other. He said, let be one or the other, for the tree is known by its fruit. And salvation in a hot person's life, it'll be known by the fruit in that life. Amen. We're living in a generation that thinks that you can just say, I'm saved. Fact is, they talk about lordship salvation. And some people preach that and they don't like it because they say you can take him as a savior, but you don't have to take him as Lord. You can get him Lord sometime down the road if you want him as Lord, but you can get saved, and anybody can get saved and just repeat after me and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, you don't get Jesus two pieces. He don't come in just a little bit at a time. If he ever comes in, he comes in as Lord. He come in to rule your life. He said in Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him. And he'll sup with me. He says, I'll come in as your guest, but then I'll take over and you'll be supping with me and I'll be in charge. Amen. Now I realize the fact, after we get saved, we may grow cold, we may grow indifferent, we may get away from God, but God will deal with us, God will work with us, God will help us. But when he comes in, if you ever really get saved, he comes in as Lord of your life. He moves you from that place of rebellion, that place of not wanting God, that place of not wanting to listen to God. He'll move you from that place to a place where you want God and you want God to speak to your heart. You want the peace of God, the joy of God. At salvation, you want God to help you in your life, and you have a desire to please him. If you never changed in your life, and you say, I got saved, but you never had a desire to really live for God, you never really wanted to obey God, then I question that salvation. A true Bible salvation will change you. it'll move you from one place to another. We are his workmanship, Ephesians 2 and 10. We like 8 and 9. It says, by grace you're saved through faith, not of works. But verse 10 said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I say today, we are his workmanship, created to God in good works. Over there in James chapter 2, I believe verse 9, he's talking about, he said, yea, a man may say, I have works, or I have faith, and you have works. And I say unto you, show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He's saying to him, the works will prove what you believe. If you really have salvation, it'll come out in you. It'll show up on you. It's like a measles. It'll break out on you. You can't get it and it not show. Now, I realize a young person may get saved, and they're not going to have as much difference as a person been out there drinking liquor show up immediately in their life. But there'll be some different attitudes about them. There'll be something changed in their heart. There'll be something different. Amen. Well, about halfway want to close and halfway want to preach. But anyway, I'm talking about real salvation. I believe it's a good place to bring it to a close and let you think about it. I'm talking about moving you from one place to another. And I pray that God is giving you real salvation. I believe God's speaking to somebody's heart. Somebody needs to get right with God. Let God help you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what real salvation does for you. That they're just joining the church or turning over a new leaf or trying to do better, not going to get it done. It's real salvation. Jesus on the cross of Calvary paid our sin debt, was buried, rose again. He is my salvation. My salvation. He said we can draw out of the well of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you that you are my salvation. I thank you today, Lord, that you are who you said you are and that you do what you said you'd do. That Heavenly Father, your word is truth, eternal, settled in heaven. And Father, as Isaiah was crying out, my salvation, and drawn from the wells of that salvation, I pray today that we realize the fact, just as sure as you delivered Israel out of Egypt, you can deliver today those that are unsaved. Just as sure as you delivered Jonah out of the belly of that fish, you can deliver today those who are saved. Their lives are caught up and tangled in some kind of bondage. I pray you'd help us all today to think about real salvation that'll take you somewhere. And I pray your will be accomplished and bring glory to you. Speak to hearts, save souls, stir lives. For Jesus' sake, in his name we pray, amen.